بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Indeed.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Instead, know that true adoration of people.
Adoration.
Sorry. Instead, know that true adoration of the people is inspired from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ironically comes to those who remain the most hidden and most silent.
Imam. So anyway, we were speaking about the point of remaining, try to remain private. Generally speaking, we should try to remain private. And one of the reasons that people try to be public is because they figure that by being public, they'll be able to advance some sort of message. People say, well, I want to be public because I want to advance this message or that message, or I want people to know that I'm out there so that I could advance this or that message. But what I'm saying here is that you should recognize that true adoration of the people, true love of the people, true connection with the people is actually inspired from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ironically, it comes to those who remain the most hidden and the most silent.
Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah, gave his student 1,000 of his notebooks to be washed and made him swear that he wouldn't do otherwise for fear of passing on errors.
So you need to understand this. Imam Nawawi is one of our greatest scholars. And he used to have all of these notebooks written on these pieces of paper. And the pieces of paper were these parchment-like pieces of paper that what would happen is when they were done, if they didn't want to, keep what was on there, they would wash those notebooks and wash the paper and whatever was on there would disappear. So they were kind of reusable parchments, you can say. So one time Imam Nawawi, he called his top student, his most famous student, and he said to his most famous student, these are 1,000 of my notebooks. Take them to the place where they wash the notebooks and have all of these washed. These were all his personal notes, okay? And he made the student swear that he will get them washed and that he would not do anything else with them. Because Imam Nawawi was afraid that there would be some small mistake here or there in these notebooks, and he didn't want these to become public. So if Imam Nawawi, you know, then actually later this student who became a great scholar in and of himself, he said, I regretted that so much. I regretted that I went and washed those, and I would have never done it except that he made me swear. Because who knows what was in those 1,000 notebooks from Imam Nawawi. But this was the status of the people of piety. They were reserved. They were silent. They were hidden. And now look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised Imam Nawawi to such a state that everybody knows his name. Everybody knows his name and benefits from his writings.
Indeed, the example of our notable elders is sufficient for the wise.
Every example, all our elders are the same. Our elders preferred to remain hidden. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised them. And there's a big difference between people raising themselves and Allah raising them. When Allah raises someone, they remain raised and they effectuate a change in people beyond time and place. When people raise themselves, they remain up for a little bit, but they come down just as fast.
Time and time again, experience reminds of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Innal ladina amanu wa amilus salihati sayaj'alu lahumur rahmanu wudda.
You can stop there. Verily, those who believe and do good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make for them wudda, adoration. Right? People will fall in love with them. Allah creates love in the hearts for people who do good deeds and who believe and who do good deeds. So our attention is going to be on Allah. This is a fundamental principle of our deen from A to Z. You know, it's a basic principle of our deen. Turn our attention to Allah. Don't worry about the people. If you renounce what the people love, then the love of Allah will put love in their hearts for you. This is a general principle of our deen. Okay, next section.
Memorize at least one line of Quran daily. Students should memorize a small portion of the Holy Quran daily, as well as useful adhkar, such as the daily du'as.
Okay, bismillah. Everybody is a student. And everyone should engage with some basic foundations of knowledge. One of the fundamental building blocks of knowledge is the Quran. Historically, our pious scholars and predecessors would not even accept a person who wasn't a hafiz into their circles. So every one of us should engage with the Quran to a degree that we memorize a small portion of it regularly. And it doesn't need to be a lot. Everybody should, you could make it 15 minutes a day. 15 minutes a day, pick one line of Quran and memorize it and recite it and recite it to yourself over and over again until you can at least comfortably read it, if not, cover your eyes and recite it back to yourself. And then if you have time, you can take an additional 5 minutes and look at the meaning and try to follow it. These types of concerted, consistent efforts will actually build into something that's a treasure. And the Quran is the greatest treasure that any seeker of knowledge can attain. So anyone who's sincere and wants to make an effort towards knowledge, whatever knowledge that might be, they should engage in the Quran with some degree of consistency and ideally memorize a small bit every day. And it's that small, consistent effort that leads to a big result.
Through this effort, students will build a treasure of knowledge that will last a lifetime. And, inshallah, they will be included among those who made effort to memorize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book in the hereafter.
So again, the idea here is that, look, we may not necessarily be able to achieve what our pious predecessors achieved, but we certainly want to be included in their gatherings and in the list of those people who tried. So make an effort. Just make a decision that every single day I'm going to spend 10, 15 minutes memorizing a small portion of the Quran. And inshallah, we'll receive a reward as if we made the effort towards Quran.
Aisha radiallahu anha narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, The likeness of the one who reads Quran and memorizes it is that he is with the righteous, honorable scribes.
So the one who reads Quran and memorizes it, he's with the righteous, honorable scribes, meaning the angels.
The likeness of the one who reads it and tries hard to memorize it, even though it is difficult for him, he will have two rewards.
So they get double the reward. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is highlighting that it's the effort that counts. It's the effort that counts. Everybody needs to make effort. If you make effort, you join the gathering. Okay? So it's not the result, it's the effort. It's the mechanism that matters. So we should all place effort towards the Quran. This is one of the main etiquettes of showing our desire and appreciation towards what's out there.
New heading, maximize available opportunities. Students should focus on the resources present before them with adab and zeal.
Now, look, again, the world is an oyster. There's all these opportunities that are present. But the reality is that the opportunities that are immediately before us are limited. We don't need to look at the opportunities that are beyond us. It's not if I was alive in the time of Imam Nawawi, I would have left everything and studied with him. That's not real. That's not reality. No one's time porting you back to the time of Imam Nawawi. So forget about it. That's just mental ping pong. Forget about that and look at it, be realistic and say to ourselves, here I am, present in today's time and place. Allah put me here. And despite where I am, these are the opportunities that are present before me. I can sit in the masjid after Fajr and learn the hadith that are being taught. I can go to this institute on the weekends and learn from this particular institute. I can find this particular scholar and engage myself with this scholar. Find opportunities that are available before us. We don't need to create these opportunities. You know, so many times people come and say, I need to go abroad and study. Okay, brother, why do you need to go abroad and study? Because that's what you do when you want to study. No, that's not what you do when you want to study. You take advantage of the opportunities and circumstances that are present before you. Okay, what do you know, brother? I haven't studied anything. Do you know how to connect the Arabic letters? No, I haven't learned how to connect the Arabic letters yet. So why do you need to go to Damascus to learn how to connect Arabic letters? You can learn how to connect Arabic letters from a nearby preschool, right? Why do you need to go to the PhD level teachers and ask them to teach you how to connect letters? They're not going to teach you how to connect letters, nor are you going to be able to get maximum benefit because you're going to go there and you're going to have to deal with all the challenges of having to be abroad. This is exactly what I witnessed when I spent time abroad. People would show up with nothing. People would show up with nothing except their desire to achieve this goal. But they hadn't been guided appropriately that you take advantage of the opportunities that are present before you. You don't need to leapfrog into these like extensive opportunities thinking that that's going to solve the problem. The problem isn't that you need to show up in Damascus. The problem is that we need to show up. That's the problem. We need to take advantage of the opportunities present before us. Maximize on the opportunities present before us, the next door will open. That's a general principle in our deen. Take advantage of the good that's present, and the next opportunity for good will avail itself.
By doing so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide the best of the current opportunity and will open the door to even better. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu reported, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you were to rely upon Allah with reliance due to Him, He would provide for you just as He provides for the birds. They go out in the morning with empty stomachs and return full.
Everybody's rizq is available to them. Like the birds, they get up. They don't need to fly to Florida to find their food. The food is present around them. They just need to seek it. Everybody's rizq is available to them. Everything that you need is generally present around you. Now, I'm not saying that if you get to PhD level hadith studies that you don't need to go find a PhD level scholar to teach you. But that's not the situation that we find ourselves in. If you get there, Allah will create that opportunity for you. So we should leverage the available opportunities before us. Allah will open the door to the next opportunity.
New heading, maintaining purity. Purity is a magnet for Allah's blessings. In order to maximize the barakah of the gatherings, all students should perfect their purity and should be in a state of wudu. Lack of purity limits the benefit gained from the gatherings.
When we enter into the metaphysical gathering of seeking knowledge, we are basically seeking nur from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the way by which we attract that nur is to be as pure as possible. The higher our state of purity, the more conducive we will be to gaining benefit from Allah. The general principle. So, as much as possible, we should be in a state of wudu. As much as possible, we should keep our clothes clean. As much as possible, we should keep our hearts and our minds clean. That allows the maximum dimension to be able to be achieved through our interaction.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed Fajr and recited Ar-Rum, but stumbled in the recitation. When he had finished praying, he said, what is the matter with people who pray with us without purifying themselves properly? Those people make us stumble in reciting Quran. Whoever joins us in Salah should perfect his purity.
Should perfect his purity. So, again, look, here's an example of the classroom. And in the classroom, there was a stumble. Yes? The classroom, here's a picture of the classroom. And in this classroom, there was a stumble. The Prophet ﷺ was reciting this particular surah during the Fajr prayer and then stumbled in the recitation. At the end, turned to the students and said, why aren't the students coming with perfect purity? Why aren't they perfecting their purity? If they would perfect their purity, such stumbles would not happen. So again, highlighting that a person who wants to gain from the circles of knowledge should perfect their purity. Inshallah, this will allow them to receive as much barakah as possible.
Of note, this applies to both purity of the heart, purity of the mind, and purity of the body. Hence, students should keep their minds free and regularly make istighfar.
So as much as possible, students should seek to keep their minds free of junk, right? And basically what feeds the mind is the eyes, the ears, and the tongue. So the mind should be kept free of junk as much as possible because the impurity in the mind decreases the barakah of the gathering. They should keep their hearts pure of disease, spiritual diseases, because the spiritual diseases of the heart decrease the barakah of the gathering. And they should keep their bodies physically pure and spiritually pure because a decrease in physical or spiritual purity of the body decreases the barakah of the gathering.
New heading. Study in sequence, one subject at a time. Knowledge is built on foundations. By studying and mastering the basics, one builds a firm footing. This is important because we often desire that which is apparently the most appealing and often most exotic. Hence, scholars of deen recommend, for example, learning tahara before salah.
Somebody who wants to study, they always want to study. They're obviously attracted because of some very esoteric high-level science, right? And because of that esoteric high-level science, they get interested in studying and they get attracted to that. But remember that you don't get to the end without going through the beginning. The end is the most fun. I mean, somebody wants to learn karate, they just want to run around and chop everybody, you know? But no, you can't just run around and start smacking your hands and legs around and beating people up. That's not karate, right? It's funny, but it's exactly what people do, right? Now you tell the person, no, they come in. Why do they come in? They come in because they want to be Bruce Lee. They don't come in because they want to have the patience and sabr and work through lesson by lesson. They come in because I want to be Bruce Lee. And then you come in, then they sit down and you start telling them that You got to do this, you got to do this, and this, and this, and whatever they teach you, and they teach you this for like weeks on end, the vast majority of people quit. The vast majority of people quit because they don't want to put in the effort to get to the end. They want to get to the end. So as people who are seeking knowledge, as people who are seeking the opportunities of knowledge, don't expect to get to the end. It's part of the adab and etiquette of knowledge to recognize that the foundations are broad and vast and that they take a tremendous amount of time to traverse. And so we should be patient with those foundations in order to be able to build upon them in the future.
Similarly, it is best to focus on limited subjects at any given time. The heart is naturally moving, physically and spiritually. However, the best results arise when we focus our efforts and be consistent.
Yeah, so, you know, this idea like one day I'm going to read tafsir, the next day I'm going to read hadith, the third day I'm going to read tasawwuf, that doesn't lead to anything. That's entertainment. That's not knowledge. That becomes entertainment. So knowledge is to achieve depth in something. So we have to take the subject, we have to give it its appropriate time, give it its appropriate dedication, give it its appropriate effort, and through that we'll eventually be able to dig deep, and it's when you dig deep that you find water and you can create a well. It doesn't occur by scratching the surface, it occurs by digging deep. So it's best for anyone who wants to study any topic, algebra or Arabic, whatever it might be, to focus on limited subjects at a time, to dig deep and gain proper understanding, and then that will then allow the effort to produce the greatest results. The heart is naturally moving, physically and spiritually. What we mean by that is that the heart's always interested in the next thing. You know, the heart, I mean, one day the guy's into karate, the next day he watches some wrestling, he wants to learn wrestling, the next day he watches kickboxing, he wants to learn kickboxing. So one day karate, one day wrestling, one day kickboxing, and he ends up dead because he can't do anything. He cannot do anything. He just touched each of the subjects, right? So in the same thing, I mean, it's a funny example, but in the same way, or even more importantly, if anybody wants to develop depth in anything, they need to be consistent and regular in that thing and go deep into that thing and spend the time and the effort and the necessary energy in order to be able to achieve that thing. So let's not fool ourselves. It's an important etiquette of knowledge to not have expectations that are beyond reality.
Aisha radiallahu anha narrates that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do good deeds properly, sincerely, and moderately, and know that your deeds will not make you enter paradise, and that the most beloved deed to Allah is the most regular and constant, even if it were little."
So look at this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam: "Do good deeds properly, sincerely, and moderately." Very, very important. Do what you do, but do it right. You understand what's being said? Do what you do, but do it right. It's funny because I have these people, I'm teaching medical students, so they want to study for like this, they have this big board exam, and they just want to get through it as fast as possible, meaning like they want to do as many questions as possible. They'll come to me and they'll say, "I did 1,600 questions. I say, "Okay, you did 1,600 questions, but when you did 1,600 questions, did you understand why the right answer is right and why all the other four answers in a multiple choice, why all the other four answers were wrong?" And they're quiet. Do what you do, but do it right. Even if you don't do 1,600, better to do 600 questions right than to just get through the 1,600. So the Prophet ﷺ says, do good deeds properly and do it sincerely and moderately. You don't need to do a lot, right? And then after you do that, don't rely on your deeds. Don't rely on your deeds. Know that your deeds are not going to necessarily allow you to enter paradise. And know that the most beloved deed to Allah is the regular and constant, even if it's little. Because the regular and constant eventually leads to progress. No benefit in, getting excited one day and saying that I'm just going to do everything, and then the next day doing nothing. Better to say, I'm going to do a little, and the next day I'm going to do that same little, and a little, and a little, and a little, because a little over time becomes a lot. A little over time becomes a lot.
New heading. Be present at the beginning and at the end. The student should always make sure to be present before the beginning of any lesson. By arriving early, the student gets to wait, which shows desire and yields spiritual benefits. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated concerning the one who awaits for an upcoming prayer, and he is considered in prayer as long as he is waiting for the prayer.
So this is a general principle concerning the classroom of the Prophet ﷺ. Sahaba waited for the Prophet ﷺ. Sahaba sat waiting for the Prophet ﷺ. And they were present at the beginning of the class. There is a barakah present in the beginning of things that cannot be replicated throughout the rest of the event. Listen very carefully. There is a barakah present in the beginning of things as a general principle that cannot be replicated throughout the rest of the event. So when a student wants to attain benefit, they should be sitting before the session begins. Now, the example of that is, one example of that would be salah. We know that the person who sits waiting for salah gets the reward as if they're in salah. The person who sits waiting for salah gets the reward as if they're in salah. So we should create this type of environment where we are waiting, people are not waiting on us. And we will create, that creates the environment that shows desire and talab, and it's desire and talab that results in benefit. Now, we gave the example earlier where the Prophet ﷺ would walk into the gathering and everyone's head would be down, correct? We talked about this earlier, except Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anh. So what does that mean? We didn't say it then, but what does that mean? It means everybody was already waiting. Everybody was already seated. And then when the Prophet ﷺ came in, he saw Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anh, smiled, and then began the session. So as a general rule, we should wait for gatherings. We should wait for blessings. It shows our desire and it allows us to be able to seek maximum from each opportunity.
Additionally, there is a special barakah in the beginning of things that often is not present at other parts of the matter.
So we've already said this. Generally speaking, the barakah present at the beginning cannot be replicated. Cannot be replicated, which basically means that if there's a program that's beginning at dhuhr, then try to be present at dhuhr because that certain barakah that occurs in the beginning cannot be replicated. If there's a session starting at 7, try to be present at 7. If it's the first day of school, make sure the kids go to the first day of school. In fact, studies show that if a kid goes to the school on the first day, they're much more likely to be there on the last day. You'll see, look at Chicago Public Schools if you live in Chicago. They always advertise the first day of school because they have proven through studies that if people can show up for the first day, they're very likely to be present on the last day. And if they're not present on the first day, you lose them completely. It's hard to get them to come. So again, time and time again, studies, people, all people who are studying this, they understand that there is a very, very special barakah in the beginning of anything. And we should seek to begin things properly, because if we begin things properly, inshallah, they'll also end properly.
This principle was highlighted by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he performed sa'i, as he would start with Safa reciting, "Inna Safa wal Marwata min sha'airillah."
So this actually, a great example of this is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sa'i. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would perform sa'i, means running back and forth between Safa and Marwa. When the Prophet ﷺ would perform sa'i, he would say the following as he would head towards the mountain, towards the hill. "In abda'u bima bada Allahu bi." Or in another narration, "Nabda'u bima bada Allahu bi." We begin, or I begin, with that which Allah began with. Okay? So here, look at this. The Prophet ﷺ is highlighting beginnings. It's interesting. In the start of sa'i, he says, "I begin with that which Allah began with." Or we begin with that which Allah began with. And then he recites the verse, "Inna Safa wal Marwa min sha'airillah." Safa and Marwa are from the signs of Allah. So because Safa was listed first, we begin with that which Allah began with. You understand the statement. But what I'm trying to highlight is that one of the barakat of this interaction is that it allows us to appreciate the importance of beginnings. There's barakah in the beginning. And when a person begins something, they're likely to end it properly. And word to the wise, one of the du'as to be made at the time of sa'i, when reciting this, is to think to oneself, "Oh Allah, allow all my beginnings to begin properly. Allow me to start things properly." So if I start my life properly, it'll end properly. If I start my marriage properly, it'll get end properly. How many people come with marriage problems and say, the beginning, everything got messed up, and now we're still trying to fix the problem? How many people come and say, my finances got messed up when I was 20, now I'm 40, I'm still trying to fix the problem? How many people come and say, I wish I would have studied properly when I was in high school, I'm still trying to fix the problem? Beginning, beginning, beginning. It's all related to the beginning. If somebody was there to guide that person in the beginning, they would have been able to achieve so much. There is baraka in the beginning of things. And whenever there's an opportunity to benefit from our scholars, whenever there's an opportunity to benefit from the circumstances surrounding us, we should present ourselves in the beginning. We should be waiting. Our teacher should not be waiting for us. Okay. Sorry, what time is Maghrib? We should stop now? It came in already? Hafsab, where is Hafsab? I don't have the timetable in front of me. What is the official time of Maghrib? No one knows? 6 minutes. So we have to stop so people can make wudu or what? Two more minutes. We'll do one more section. Go ahead.
It is a well-known principle that starting something properly increases the likelihood of it ending properly.
So we spoke about this.
Finally, it is also important to emphasize a special barakah at the end of a matter as well. Anas radiallahu anhu narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also commanded us that we should glean the pot, saying, you do not know in which part of your food the blessing lies.
Okay, so not only is there barakah in the beginning of things, but it's also important to note that there tends to be barakah at the end of things. So when someone has put in the time, the energy, and effort, there's a tremendous barakah that is exhibited at the very end of things. For example, the Fatah of Mecca, right? All these things that we spoke about earlier. How much energy, effort, time was put in, and then at the end, barakah showered. Barakah showered. So often there's barakah in the bottom of the bowl. Often there's barakah in the scrapings of the pot. Often there's barakah at the end of the lesson. So we should make sure we're present at the beginning, and we should make sure we're present at the end. Those are the two times where there tends to be a lot of barakah.
Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the angels send blessings upon one of you so long as he is in the place where he offered his prayer. So long as he does not break his wudu, they say, O Allah, forgive him. O Allah, have mercy on him.
So again, this is another example. What happens? A person offers prayer. So seemingly when prayer ends, the barakah of the prayer is over, right? But the Prophet ﷺ is saying that once you've completed your prayer, as long as you remain seated, the barakah remains and continues to descend, even though the event apparently ended. Because angels continue to make dua, and they say, O Allah, forgive him. O Allah, have mercy upon him.
Just as the light of the sun remains on the horizon as the sun sets, so too does the barakah of gatherings remain after its apparent end.
After its apparent end. So this is actually, our mashayikh teach this. That the event is the sunset. When the sun sets, I think I spoke about this morning for those who were present at Fajr. When the sun sets, the event, the sun now is underneath the horizon, but the light of the sun remains for some time to come. So just because the event apparently ends doesn't mean it's over, doesn't mean that the opportunity is over. People who are seeking know that they should sit and wait. There's a lot of barakah in sitting and waiting. There's a lot of barakah at the end. So, for example, you're a student in class. You're taking algebra. When the teacher gets up and leaves, sit for a couple of minutes if you can. I know you have to. The bell rings and you have to run to the next class. But in college, this doesn't happen. Sit in the lecture hall and just write down the few major points that you learned. At the end of a lesson, you studied a fiqh lesson. The teacher gets up to leave. When the teacher gets up to leave, it's not time for students to throw paper at each other. Even in a madrasa, this happens. It's not time for students to throw paper at each other. It's time for the student to sit and quickly take a few notes and solidify what they gained, because that barakah is still present. The heat's still present on the pot. When you finish cooking food, there's still heat coming from the pot. So we should take advantage of the end of the event just like we take advantage of the beginning of the event. I think that's the end of the section. Okay, so we're going to stop there. We'll pray Maghrib Salah. And then inshallah we'll move on to the final session, and we'll try to cover as many of these points as we can in that last session between Maghrib and Isha. وآخر الدعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.